Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I am a poor miserable sinner. Confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. In the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage.
Remember this, O Lord, how we enemy scoffs, and a foolish people reviles your name.
Do not deliver the soul of your dove to the wild beasts. Do not forget the life of your poor forever.
Let not the downtrodden turn back in shame. Let the poor and needy praise your name.
Have regard for the covenant. Arise, O God, defend your cause.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Spirit may direct and govern our hearts in all things, that we may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading appointed for this, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, is from Genesis chapter 32. The same night Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men, and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I lift up my eyes to the hills.
From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved.
He who keeps you will not.
Your shame
on your right.
chapters 3 and 4. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. According to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to thee, Lord.
Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord. We join in confessing our holy Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as found printed on the inside back cover of the hymnal.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Amen.
grace and peace be yours from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is the gospel for the day that you just heard the parable that Jesus told, that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. I read not long ago that Sir Walter Raleigh, advisor to Queen Elizabeth I, constantly and regularly would ask. And she said to him, "When will you quit asking?" He said, "But you keep giving." I suppose for you and me, those of us who are more common, you might say, than Sir Walter Raleigh, we might be envious of proximity to positions of power. Once in teaching on prayer to a group of kids, I think vacation Bible school students, they were impressed to see that I could type into my cell phone the White House switchboard number. And I told them, "If I press send, I will call the White House, and someone will answer," back in the days when someone would answer. "And someone will answer, and they'll say to me, 'Hello, thank you for calling the White House.' And I will say, 'I'd like please to speak to the president.' And they'll tell me so kindly, 'The president is a very busy man, but he very much appreciates your call. And please give me your message, and I will look to pass it on to him.' And I wouldn't dream of speaking to the president by way of the phone call. You and I ought to recognize that our access is far greater than any access that any person in any proximity to a position of power in this world would have to those who stand in the places or sit in the seats of power in this world. Our access, yours and mine, by virtue of our relationship to the Lord God, is that we can call upon the Almighty at any time and in any place, and He will hear. The access that you and I have is no less than that of Abraham, who, as we heard so many weeks ago, stood and pleaded for the people of Sodom or Gomorrah. "But if there be 45, but if there be yet less..." And the Lord heard him. The access that you and I have is no less than the access that Moses had to the Lord God Almighty, or that David had, or the prophet Elisha, or Isaiah, or the king Hezekiah, as he prayed to the Lord God that his death may not come about so suddenly, and he was granted some 15 more years of life. Our access is no less than that of Jesus' own mother, Mary, who said to him simply at that wedding at Cana, "They have no more wine." Our access is no less than those 10 lepers we heard about last week, who cried out to him, "Lord, have mercy," and you and I do as well. Just like they don't, or they didn't, you and I don't. We know this. We don't deserve to be heard by the Almighty. If we believe what we say, and we should, we just confessed a few minutes ago that we deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment. And it's true. In the Small Catechism, as Martin Luther explained the fifth petition, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," he said, we daily sin much and deserve nothing but God's punishment. We do. And we ought not think otherwise. Those things that we say that we shouldn't, or don't say that we should, or our thoughts, our deeds, wrong as they are, sinful as they are, we don't deserve that the Almighty would lend his ear to the likes of you and me. And yet, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are heard. We may ask, and we even receive, because Jesus has reconciled us sinners to God by his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Because by the working of the Holy Spirit through the gospel, you and I have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, because we have been taught to pray through the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus our Lord. Through him our prayers are heard. God listens. And he bids us ask. He invites us to ask, and we even receive. The book of Hebrews says, "Brothers, fellow Christians, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. The Lord God says, 'Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me.' Jesus says, 'Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you.' Jesus said, 'Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he shall give it to you.' What then would deter us? And yet, we do lose heart at times, don't we? Many are the challenges and the griefs by which we're tempted to lose heart. The Lord knows that his loving ways and his wisdom are not always understood by his children. Sometimes his love requires him to say no to our requests. It's like the father whose sons asked him for real swords. In their mind's eye, all they could see is all the fun they were going to have with not the cheap ones that break on the second day, not the Nerf ones that bend until they snap. I mean, real ones. And all they could see in their mind's eye is the fun they were going to have, not the missing fingers or the trips to the emergency room. And so the father had to, in his love, because he could see more clearly than they could see, he had to say no. Does not our father have to say the same? And isn't it true that his children don't always understand it? Sometimes he permits Christians to struggle, to be persecuted, and to be tried. Through toil and tribulation, we sing, and tumult of her war. The Lord knows that his loving ways and wisdom are not always understood by his children, so he gave us a parable teaching us that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, as we take a look at this, you might expect me perhaps to begin with a hearty exhortation that you should pray and you should not lose heart. But we're not going to begin that way. Jesus doesn't. Did you notice that as he begins the parable? Does he not begin with a promise? Let's consider the parable. In a certain city, there was a judge, not the kind of judge you'd want to bring your case before, because he doesn't seem to be that he was a very fair judge. Didn't seem to be a very moral man. Jesus describes him as one who did not fear God, and he had no respect of persons or man. There was in the same city a widow who came pleading to him, who kept coming to him. that he might grant to her, going to the official, the governing authority there, the one who represents the governing authority, that he might give her justice, but he didn't. She's called at times the persistent widow. Maybe we might say the importunate widow, the unrelenting widow. That's rather what she was. And at first, as we say, he, the judge, the immoral man, gave her no justice. He did not vindicate, but later he did, because of the widow's persistence, importunance. Now, I fear that at times the parable is misunderstood. I fear at times the parable is thought of in this way. If we simply bother God enough, we'll finally wear him down and he'll give us what we want. But of course, a father doesn't operate that way. Remember when those two boys asked their dad for real swords? What if they had kept begging and begging and begging? Would the father who loved them say to them, finally, fine, keep them sharp? Of course not. Love won't allow it. No, the parable doesn't teach us to try to wear God down. Jesus says, if the unrighteous judge does this, because the widow weared him down, how much more God, your Father, who himself is righteous and kind and loving and who knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more will he come to the aid of those who call upon him? And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? The promise is this: God will act for his people. God will act for his people. He says in the text, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Now, your speedily and God's speedily are not always the same. You might want it just like that, and God says no, but wait just for a time, but it's coming. We heard in that wonderful psalm that we sang today, the 121st psalm in the psalmody, the Lord is your keeper. God will act for his people. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. God will act for his people. He will give justice. He will vindicate your faith in him that now at times is ridiculed, that now at times is mocked, that now at times perhaps his own children question. The day is coming when he will fully vindicate your faith in him. So don't lose heart. The day is coming when he will fully vindicate the hopes that you have in him, those things that have not, those promises he has given you that have not yet come to pass. The day is coming when he fully will vindicate these promises. The day is coming when he will vindicate the love, the Christian love that you show to others and often is not received with the gratitude you might expect. He will vindicate his people. And mind you, he doesn't just say his people, he says his elect. And that should be extra dear to you. You, he chose out of the unbelieving world. You, he gave his Holy Spirit for help, comfort, and support. in sorrow's gloomy hour and in all your days. You, for you, he has prepared an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. His elect. So, in view of all this, let us pray. Pray always. We have the command to pray, do we not? Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We have God's command to pray. We also have his dear promise that he will hear us. So pray. Always pray. Since we have his command, since we have his promise, since Jesus has made it right and safe for us to pray, since he has prepared that we may pray, let us, through Jesus, our mediator, let us pray. Pray at all times. Pray in all places. Luther said this: it would not be surprising, and surely should not be so, for a Christian to appeal to God in prayer every hour and to grant him no rest. For he speaks so graciously to us, constantly appeals to us, and says, ask, seek, knock. Oh, that we were as diligent in praying, at least with the sighing of our heart, as God is in inciting, inviting, commanding, promising, and urging us to pray. Pray. Pray at all times. Pray in hard times, in times of adversity. When you're not making ends meet, pray. When there are conflicts in the family, pray. When health is not what you'd want it to be, pray. When things look grim, pray. Again, Luther, vintage Luther. You must learn to call. Don't sit by yourself or lie on a couch hanging and shaking your head. Don't destroy yourself with your own thoughts by worrying. Don't strive and struggle to free yourself, and don't brood on your wretchedness, your suffering, your misery. Say to yourself, come on, you lazy bum, down on your knees and lift up your eyes and hands toward heaven. Read a psalm and the Our Father. Call on God and tearfully lay your troubles before him. Mourn and pray. It's his desire and will that you lay your troubles before him. He doesn't want you to multiply your troubles by burdening and torturing yourself. He wants you to be too weak to bear and overcome such troubles. He wants you to grow strong in him. By his strength, he is glorified in you. Vintage Luther, call upon God. Even hoping against hope, you see your sins. You see how great they are. You see the trouble in which you find yourself. You see that the odds seem to be stacked against you. Pray. Once more, Luther. An earnest and ardent prayer, a prayer that does not stop or weaken, but expects a favorable answer to the very last moment, is commendable. For when we so pray that our prayers transcend our reason and understanding, it's a most pleasing sacrifice to God. For as Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. When the case is desperate and all measures and efforts are in vain, then be strong. For God calls forth everything from the dead and from nothing. Just when not a bit of help or hope remains, then the divine help sets in. Look to Jesus on the cross, and through him pray. He has forgiven your sin. He has reconciled you to God. He has given you the Holy Spirit by which you pray. Pray with God like Jacob wrestled with God, saying, I will not let you go until you bless me. And don't lose heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jacob wrestled with you, O Lord, and would not depart without a blessing. Grant us the blessing of your grace and faith so that we will hear and heed the voice of your word. Give us patience and give us courage and endurance in time of trial, that we may not despair when we suffer for the sake of the kingdom, but have confidence and take heart in your promises. Lord, in your mercy. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give faithfulness to pastors that they may bear witness to the appearing and the kingdom of Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. Instill in them patience and sober-mindedness that, motivated by love for you and love for those you have called them to faithfully serve, they may rebuke and reprove, exhort with sound teaching. Grant them and those who hear them a fervent desire for the truth of your word, that we may not be led astray by our emotions or fears or our passions. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, guide and protect the families of your church. Grant that husbands and wives live in faithfulness to each other. Bless mothers with child and all children and all who bring children to baptism. Nurture them in their baptismal faith. And today we pray especially for the newborn daughter of Jackie and Elvis C., asking that as you protected and preserved her through the time of childbirth, that you would also preserve her to the day of her baptism, and through faith in Christ preserve her and her grateful parents indeed unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, bless and protect those who make and execute and judge and enforce the laws of our land, as they protect us from those who have no regard for those laws. Bless too, O Lord, those who defend us from all who would rob us of the freedom of speech and the free exercise of our faith and good civil order, so that the work of your word is not hindered in our land. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, because you neither slumber nor sleep, deliver us from all that threatens us and from the evil one who would lead us to despair because of our struggles and disabling infirmities. Especially do we beg you to sustain the faith of those who are weakened by sickness and death and the infirmities of age and loss, including your servants Jimmy and Fran, Mim, Barbara, Dimitri, and Jack. Lord, in your mercy. And with our brother Jerry, we thank you for working your healing and his health and his surgery, and we pray that you would continue to grant him a steady and complete recovery. Lord, in your mercy. Unworthy though we are, O Lord, at your invitation, washed in the blood of the Lamb, we are the people of your promise. We are the sheep of your flock. So grant to us the wisdom to receive in faith and in repentance the holy food of your Son's very body and blood, that his communion with us here may bear fruit in our lives with one another. Lord, in your mercy. And gracious Lord, teach us to pray with persistence, because you love us and always provide for us and promise to give justice to your elect who cry out to you day and night. Grant us faith that wrestles with you but trusts that you remain in control. Do not let go, but bless us with forgiveness and guidance and eternal life with Christ, Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Merciful Father, as you have promised, keep safe our coming in and our going out from this time forth and forevermore, that we may hear and always pray in the name of your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant and becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Holy.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Upon you and give you